It's over. All injections are loaded with dangerous, cancer-causing, disease-causing poisons. There is no such thing as the seasonal flu shot. There is no such thing as a preventative vaccine. This is a mass genocide operation, and only one thing will stop it. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. So, you're about to go out and get your annual flu shot? You might want to stop and think twice. What makes you think you can trust pharmaceutical companies after what they've done to the world in the last 2 years? They've told you all along what they're going to do and what they are doing. They stood by silently while 3.5 million Americans died after taking their C-19 shots, and the rest of the companies remained silent. At best, traditional flu shots are only about 15% effective at preventing influenza A and B. Why? Because it's a best guess by the companies themselves as to which strain will be more prevalent. Let me repeat that. It's a best guess by companies that are no longer required to do legitimate studies for safety, much less effectiveness. And don't take my word about it. How about if we take a quick listen to the CEO of Moderna, Stefan Bancel, who's basically told you they're mixing C-19 and flu shots together with a whole bunch of other stuff. Please roll video one.
I think we're going to build the biggest vaccine company in the world. You know, there are more than 80 viruses that hurt humans that do not have vaccines yet. You know, we have 8 vaccines in our pipeline today. Our team in the labs is working on many more vaccines. So you're going to see really literally an explosion of vaccine going into development, clinical studies with Moderna. We're going to do a lot of combination. Like, I want to get to the world a highly effective seasonal flu shot, because as you know, the current vaccines don't work very well. That I want to combine with COVID boost so that in the future, and I'm talking a couple of years, not 10 years, I hope you can get an annual shot boost from Moderna in late summer, early fall, where you have a very high efficacy. I will anticipate, you know, north of 90% efficacy for flu. And you get the COVID shots with the right variant at the time into one single shot, and you'll be having a nice winter. So think about the opportunity of that. We could disrupt not only the entire seasonal flu marketplace, which is 4 or 5 billion annual peak sales for the industry, but you can increase that pie. Because a lot of people, as you know, don't take the flu shot because they're like, hey, it doesn't work. But if you had a good protection against flu and COVID, and you could have a normal life, especially after this trauma that we all lived, I believe many more people will get that shot.
Honestly, they do tell you what they're going to do. And if you're still skeptical, we're going to hear from another expert in a moment. These shots have never been tested for transmission, but they'll tell you, get it so that you can protect granny. Well, besides standing by and not saying anything, I want you to take a listen to AFLD expert Dr. Pierre, who tells you straight up the flu shots are the new bioweapon. Please roll video number two.
Hey, freedom lovers. This is Dr. Peterson Pierre with America's Frontline Doctors, bringing you today's Daily Dose. So recently, both Pfizer and Moderna decided that they're going to develop a combination COVID and flu vaccine. So this is a terrible idea. First of all, the COVID boosters we know don't work. They're still under EUA. They've failed animal data and there are no human studies. So that should be off the table right off the bat. Number two, the mRNA flu vaccine would be a new product. So it should go through the full 5-year testing and regulatory period before they even consider doing that. But Big Pharma has other ideas because it looks like they want to sidestep that whole process by lumping it in with the COVID vaccine. Now, the flu vaccines don't work that well. A paper published last year showed that they're only 16% effective, which was statistically insignificant from zero. That's because they're based on what they think is going to happen in the future. That's why they don't work. Now, combining these two in your body, what's going to happen? You're implanting the genetic code for multiple different foreign proteins, which is going to increase the immune response, increase side effects, probably more so than either one by itself. In the past, when you have technology that doesn't work, produces a lot of side effects, doesn't produce any benefits, they abandon it. But the drug companies are hell-bent on getting mRNA technology into every single human being on this planet. So the next time you're in the clinic getting your shot, ask the nurse, does this have mRNA in it? If she says yes, you should probably pass because your life may depend on it. Ladies and gentlemen, only the truth will set you free. Stay tuned for the next Daily Dose.
Well, it's pretty disturbing. And please don't wait. I mean, they're trying to continue this mass genocide operation. Recently, I was privy to some new information that attorney Todd Callender was able to uncover and put together. He doesn't just look at patents, because patents are potential only. He puts patents together with company documents, some that are leaked into the public domain, some of them that are released in FOIAs, and other sources, whistleblowers that come forward. Look, before we get to talking to him, and so that you can see all the proof you need to stop and stop your family and loved ones from bellying up for their annual flu shot. This is not something different from the C19 shots. But first, I want to say a few words about what we're suffering through with this crazy economy. Because if you've got $50,000 or more in your IRA or your 401k, you could be at risk to see your savings evaporate. But right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole and physical gold and silver to add that to their retirement plans. I want to suggest that you call GoldCo at 855-791-2619 to get one of their free IRA kits. This way you can learn more about how thousands of your fellow Americans are protecting their retirement savings with physical gold and silver, and you could get up to $10,000 in free gold or free silver, to do so. So don't wait. Call GoldCo now. Learn more about it. Get your free IRA kit, loophole kit, sent out to you. Call 855-791-2619. You don't want to miss my upcoming interview with Todd Callender. Todd has been on the forefront. You'll remember that probably about a month or two ago, a little more than a month, Todd was on my show and he unveiled the shocking information that these shots actually change the DNA, the natural God-given DNA of many people who took them. And that's really a serious concern, because from his angle as an attorney, he's worried that people are going to lose their sovereignty over their own bodies, that by changing the genetic makeup and becoming what he called a human Borg genesis, that you could become property or something that's changed from a real human being, that you would have no rights, you could be murdered, that you could become a slave of these companies that whose DNA changing material you took, so that you are no longer have the same DNA as when you were born. Well, now Todd is back. He's coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk to him for the duration of the show, and he's going to share with us information and the latest findings that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the current flu shots contain the seasonal shots that you think you're getting to protect yourself from the flu that were only ever 15% effective, indeed contain these poisonous materials. It could be the mRNA, could be toxic adjuvants. It could be a lot of different things. These companies are mixing it up and they know what they're doing, because this is a mass genocide operation. Don't go anywhere. When I come back, we'll have another mind-blowing conversation that you need to hear with attorney Todd Callender. Well, attorney Todd Callender has been at the forefront of so many of the evil aspects of this mass genocide operation. And while lately I've maintained that those bringing forth patents alone are not bringing forth necessarily receipts or proof, to me, patents are potential. But when you add to a patent, when you add evidence and other documentation, including source docs from governments and corporations and all forms, it all forms a powerful basis for the truth. And Todd has graciously agreed to come back to provide more evidence of why you should steer clear of any seasonal shots, flu shots, C-19 shots. And Todd joins me now. Todd, it's always great to have you. Thanks so much for coming back.
What a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
People were so appreciative the last time you were here on the show with me. And we talked about the human Borg genesis, which maybe later on in the next segment, we can talk about any updates you have on that. But they were so interested in it. I think we had a couple hundred thousand views. So I wanted to bring you back again because we communicate somewhat regularly and you've really laid some foundations, some new evidence to prove that the seasonal flu shots are now part of the mass genocide operation?
Yes, and maybe they have been for a long time.
Oh, wow, okay, wow. Well, where do we start? Some of your documentation, I think, would be a really great place.
Well, I can set it up a little bit if that's okay. We had 2 weeks ago, we had Senator Johnson's hearing that had a lot of our friends and colleagues on there talking about, you know, how to eliminate the COVID mandate in the military. And seemingly that's happening in some respects. And I think it was a bit of a win, in really a psychological one more than anything, because immediately thereafter, I got reports from our service member clients saying, well, they're still pushing us out. They're still mandating it for as long as they possibly can until word comes from the president that they're retired, they're not going to push it anymore. However, the DOD just did a step to the left. It didn't slow them down at all because we found out that there are much the same ingredients in the flu shots, which remain on the military schedule as a compulsory shot. They have to get them. And we got contacted by one service member on a ship in the middle of the ocean who's being forced to take the flu shot. And he said, what should I do? And I said, we should find out what the ingredients are first, right, to see if the hydrogel is in there. It seems to be the most dangerous part of these shots. So that's what happened. And we dug in, and sure enough, what did we find? More poison than the flu shots.
Do you think it would be a good idea? I mean, this just popped into my head. If people around the country, without breaking any laws, could get vials of the seasonal flu shot and get them to trusted labs or get them to some of the doctors maybe that have been on multiple shows like mine to analyze.
Yes. Okay.
I think that'd be a great
idea.
Well,
we must because we got a consultation for a very notable doctor that you and I both know who said, I recognize these ingredients. I recognize them for being poison. I sent you a copy of the OSHA safe to daddy sheet.
Yeah.
But the point he raised was, well, we just don't know the amount, how much of this is in the vial, because if it's a micro amount, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but if it's a lot, then, clearly this is fatal. I don't think those are his words. That's what the OSHA safety data sheet states. But in any event, we need to understand the quantities of these ingredients as well. We know they're in there because they're in the insert, mm-hmm. right? I asked the service mm-hmm. member, and mm-hmm. we're taking a bit more congenial tone with the medical people on the ship. We want to work together. We want them to understand this in light of the COVID attack, because that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Gee, medical officer on this ship, do you really think this is a good idea to poison all of your people on your ship? So we're approaching it from that point of view, and we got a copy of what the ingredients of this are, some of which I have sent to you, and it's really quite alarming.
Yeah, I'd like to take a closer look at that, but here's the question. We need a whistleblower from inside the companies making these that can tell us the dosages.
Yeah.
Because these companies can easily say, look, it's a trace amount. Don't worry about it. We don't have to disclose it, right?
Maybe. I would have agreed with you on that 2 months ago. We have a whistleblower in the meantime that came as a quality assurance auditor for Pfizer who said, we get bags of ingredients, this liquid that comes from China, all Chinese markings. There's no English on it. We have no idea what's in the bag, and we're sticking it into Pfizer vials. So, and this is the person whose job it was, now fired, to make sure that all of the safety was done. What's in this? How much of it? Are there any particulates? This person got fired for raising those questions. So even if we did go to a Pfizer factory, for example, if they were the manufacturer of this, we wouldn't still know based on that past experience by itself. So the only way to really know is to get some of these vials, and we'll do mass spectrometry on them. We're doing some on other shots right now.
You are.
And okay, we're happy to do that.
Good. Because when I look at this OSHA report, it says at the top, and we'll scan it. I'll ask my producer to please scan it or scroll on it. But at the very top on the left, it says report on carcinogens. Let's just start there. I mean, we don't even have to get into that. And it appears to be something called beta propiolactone, right? And it says beta propiolactone is reasonably anticipated to be a human, not may, but is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen based on sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity from studies in experimental animals. So there's a foundation. And yet you're saying that your folks that are working on this on the ground have found this beta propiolactone in the seasonal flu shots on these army bases or ships?
This is an admitted ingredient. This came from the safety data sheet of the actual vial that they proposed to stick in this poor person's arm.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is an admission, is what this is. So we know what the ingredients are, and there are other ones that are, you know, probably equally hazardous, including what seems to be a common ingredient in the hydrogel that clumps red blood cells together. So, you know, it's hemagglutinin is what that one is called. And it's a listed ingredient, influenza A. And by the way, the military breaks this down into influenza northern hemisphere and influenza southern hemisphere, but they share these two ingredients and others as part of the content. So we know that there's at least two of these, but wait, there's more. There's different.
We're looking at the second document. I don't want to rush through because I want people to really look at this.
That's fine.
This second one, and you can go to the National Library of Medicine here, the NIH, and you can look this up. We're flashing this. You can hit the pause button when you watch the replay of the show, and you can copy these numbers down in the search engine. And it says hemagglutinin, influenza A virus. Now, this, I don't know if this is North America or South, but I'm a little ignorant on my geography. Influenza A, Puerto Rico. And then it says H1N1 after some numbers. I mean, what is happening here? Are they creating the illnesses and then saying, hey, we've got a vaccine that'll help you? Because they want people to get scared and belly up.
Yeah, all of that is true. In fact, when you look at the different types of viruses that they include in shots, dead or alive is almost immaterial, attenuated or not. What you find is that the virus that they include are all genetically modified, all of them. And there's a great giant database full of these things. It seems as though anybody that's making the shots can just, go to the government and say, look, we'd like to have, this genetic mutation virus to stick in this. And there's three in North America and three in South America. This happens to be one of them, I believe, is in both northern and southern hemisphere. Amongst others, the Victoria one is common to both. And so the point is that these viruses didn't become, genetically modified by themselves.
Right.
People did that.
They're not natural mutations.
They're not natural mutations. Somebody went to the trouble to do it. And there are, let me put it this way, there's at least tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of those stored in the U.S. government database that we have access to. All of them mutated, and almost all of them derive from the original one, which is gene 1616, otherwise known as the death-associated protein 6, otherwise known as kinase. So this thing, and you look into things, just type in kinase, K-I-N-A-S-E, and you'll find it in everywhere. Right, there are kinase blockers for cancer drugs, but kinase was actually an ingredient. So my sense is that we've been poisoned for a very long time.
So let me back up a touch. when you say the conclusion you're coming to is that we've been poisoned for a long time, that they have they been playing around with it in the flu shots for 20 yes. or 30 years? Okay. To see.
Well, I can give you an example. Yeah. So from a personal experience point of view, and I appreciate that you want specificity. How do you know this and why? So you're aware that my family acquired the IP rights to a needle-free mass vaccination device. And that company has done what they call collaboration, scientific collaborations around the world with a bunch of different manufacturers to see how vaccines would work. One of the clinical tests that company did more than 10, probably 20 years ago now, was Gardasil. Right. HPV vaccine.
Right.
You know, the non-placebo group of people that showed up for those shots went home sterile in Africa. Why?
Oh my God.
Because that's what it was designed to do. And now you've got Gardasil's required vaccine in all 50 states for girls of childbearing age. Now they're extending that to males. That is designed to make people sterile. That's been around a long time. Maurice Hillman was the chief vaccinologist for Merck. 1980, he states on film, I've got a copy of it, ha, 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 we're using the SV40, causes cancer, and we're putting that in our shots. The Russian Olympic team are now all going to get cancer. Isn't that funny? Ha, ha. So this isn't a function of speculation. They're actually telling us this. It's in the list of ingredients. They're putting poison into them. The only question we don't particularly know is what are the quantities? And we can measure that with mass spectrometry, and we will do that. Then the question, doctor, is what are we going to do about it, right? We had a slam dunk here with COVID in so much that it was experimental, emergency use only, highly deadly, right? That's certainly provable. And yet we had a heck of a time stopping our government from forcing this on people.
Right. Now they've upped the ante. If they're putting this, as you say, into the seasonal flu shots, there's a huge chunk of the population that doesn't even need to be propagandized, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because
they just go along with them.
Right.
You bet they do. Especially, right. Well, and in many cases, they're required. Military, it's a required shot. I think first responders in most every state have it as well. The same with hospital workers. This is just another variation of the COVID genocide, or democide, as some people have called it.
Well, people are writing to me every day now and saying, hey, Dr. Jane, you know, we got through the COVID thing. I got my religious exemption, or I gave up my job. I went and did something else. Now I'm in a new situation and they want me to have a flu shot as a condition of employment.
Right.
How do I argue against that? And that's why I thought it was really timely to get you back on, because I knew you were working on this to show that these shots, the seasonal flu shots, are not real vaccines either. It's just another avenue. Because like I just said to you before we started to talk, you didn't think they were going to just have one run at this, right?
No, exactly. It's called a concentration risk, right? When a military attacks, because that's what this is, right? They attack on many fronts, many different ways, air, land, and sea. Why would this be any different? And we have to confront that, doctor, that look, the military is who came up with the shots, the COVID shots. This was a DOD program. Hydrogel was created by DARPA, right? So we have to look at this. We have to change where we're standing in our perspective. If I was going to take out, you know, the largest freestanding military in the world, how would I go about doing that? If I was to conquer the United States with all these gun owners, how
sure.
would I go about doing that?
Mm.
And once you put yourself in that situation, it's easy to see how many different ways they would attack. And that's what we're seeing.
You know, it doesn't matter how many guns you have. And I've never been cocky about the fact that we're a 2A country and that there are hundreds of millions, apparently, of guns in the country. I've never been, you know, comforted by that, because they're going about it in a different way. And it doesn't matter how many guns you have in the stockpile out back. If you're disabled or you can't think anymore and you're paralyzed, they're taking us out in different ways, right?
That's right. And EMF, 5G. So that's, you know, that's three vectors all by itself.
Can you speak to that? Yeah, I was going to say, can you speak to that, Tom?
Yeah.
The 5G, I'm not an expert in that area. Is it supposed to work in conjunction with the materials in the shots?
It's a weapon system all by itself. It's 60 gigahertz, which is a 5G signal. It separates oxygen from nitrogen. Could literally asphyxiate people remotely. The Huawei WeLink 5G device is a 60 gigahertz device. We found out in a lot of hospital rescues that the respirators were all operating on a 60 gigahertz 5G signal. 5G is a weapon system. We saw it, you know, when this whole thing broke out, this whole thing being the COVID outbreak, the COVID pandemic, it broke out in Wuhan just after, on Halloween night in 2019, 10,000 5G transmitters were turned on. The experts that advise us, our firm and the other lawyers that I work with, will all tell you universally that by virtue of the different signals, sometimes modulation of those signals, and the strength thereof, they can create the exact same symptomology of any disease.
Really? So this is true then?
Any disease whatsoever. Yeah, my basic understanding is that the frequencies at the very minimum destroy the hydrophilic bonds which hold all of our cells and water in our body in place. And it creates an ozone plasma inside of our bodies, which becomes a rich environment for bacterial infections. So we're thinking we're getting viruses. We're thinking we're getting bacterial pneumonia, when in reality, it may be as simple as electronic beams. And the sick part about 5G and what's up and moving around these days, two parts. Number one is that they've installed phased arrays, right? So no longer are we just swimming in the sea of 5G radiation and 4G, that's fourth generation, fifth generation, different frequencies. But now it is actually dedicated. It's actually sent to particular devices or particular people. It's not by accident. In November 2019, 21 million Chinese ditched their 5G devices, their cell phones, and their subscriptions. Mm. Wonder why? What happened in Wuhan? So, you know, people are now being pushed into the 5G network. People will universally report that it's not particularly faster or better. Then, you know, why do we have it? It's because it's a flippin' whippin' weapon system. That's why.
Wow. Because everybody has one. Everybody has one in their hand.
It's a targeting device,
yeah.
Right? And by the way, it can, according to our experts, also work with the materials that were installed by the hydrogel, one of which is the cesium-137. That's in the list of ingredients of hydrogel. I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is apparently there's a degradation of the molecule itself, cesium, that the atomic clock works on. It's so precise. And the methodology by which the communication happens to and from people and the 5G towers is so precise that it has to be timed through the use of cesium. Well, it's also interesting that when cesium is combined with living tissue, it turns that tissue into a transmitter, an amplifier, and a transistor. Also, not by coincidence, in the military phase 3 clinical trial, it's C-459-1001, The test subjects, 44,000 of them, military members and their families, were using something called the InTouch eDiary to measure real time what was happening on the inside of their body after they got the shots. That's something called an ePCR device. And it's gathering information from inside the body, just like Noah Harari says. We're going to get the intelligence from the inside of your body, surveillance. That's already happened. That's already happening. And it happens as a function of this hydrogel.
Okay, quick question on that. Let's say that, you know, you've got, it's not just like 50 Kabbalists or owners. There are probably thousands. I don't know, maybe as a conservative. How do they escape this?
Yeah, a good question. I tend to refine the owners to one simple entity that everybody can look up, and that's the Bank for International Settlements. I'm not saying there aren't thousands of owners. I'm just saying that when you have an entity such as the BIS that owns every central bank on the planet, say three, and have the ability to create money out of thin air that governments borrow and use for the debt model economy, they have the purchasing power of nobody else, the purchasing power of God, for sake of argument. And so they are all powerful, and I refer to them as the owners. Don't you suppose that if you were the person, if you were at the Bank for International Settlements, you decided to kill off the world, wouldn't you in advance already have an antidote? Wouldn't you already have planned for all of that? You know, Dr. Vliet does a good job of explaining why 5G is a better weapon system than, you know, a biological one. And that's because it's control. These people are control freaks. So I am certain that for any methodology of murder that they chose, they would simply have some means by which they could escape it. We know that there are certain bacillus, for example, that are immune to radiation, all forms of it. The Russians use it for atomic transmutation. So there are always ways around it.
Wow. It's like getting a new computer. You don't know the half of what it's capable of doing. So
isn't that true?
Yeah, we just don't know. We almost don't know what they're doing until they do it. And then
Doc. Yeah. How old is the movie The Matrix? 20 years?
Gosh, at least. Yeah, that's true.
Well, this is what we're seeing now, right? They're talking about test tube babies grown in some kind of a pod that is going to utilize the Bill Gates patent, actually Microsoft patent, that talks about turning people into batteries, transistors, transducers, and transmitters. That technology already exists. That technology is already happening. Test tube babies have been around for a long time. That particular patent I just referenced also talks about turning these people into cloud computing nodes. Well, that's what the EPCR device actually reads. It actually reads your biorhythms in real time and can act as a cloud computing node. So they're harnessing the power of people for whatever nefarious purposes they choose. And that technology exists today. You don't have to question, you know, when you say how long ago, look at the NASA Langley research paper on fifth generation warfare circa 2025. I think I've said it to you previously. Mm-hmm. It talks about the technology they have today and are forecasting what that will look like in 2025. That was published in 2021. And it talks about all those same things.
Wow.
Well, what do we know? I don't know. We don't know what we don't know.
We don't know what we don't know. When we come back, because we've actually blown through the first segment here. when we come back, we're going to talk about whether it's hopeless or some of Todd's ideas on what to do going forward. So stay with us. Hopefully the best is yet to come. Okay, be right back. Well, welcome back. When we left for the break, Todd and I were talking about how the technology is here. It's now, in terms of them being able to target individual people. And I'm so happy to have you back, Todd. Let's start with maybe sort of an obvious question that the audience would ask themselves. If that's the case, what can we do to protect ourselves like individually? What kinds of things can we do? Or are we just sitting ducks?
So, yeah, there are things that we can do, simple ones. So, for instance, a Faraday cage for your phone. You know, we've taken readings, EMF readings on our phones, and when those things are turned on, receiving or sending a call, it's frying your brain. And in fact, there's a lot of science and studies that show that. So I try to keep my phone in a Faraday cage as much as I can. And I know we've got mutual friends, Hope and Tavon.
Yes.
That actually produce products that try and protect you against EMF radiation. And that's just for that part. And yeah. Then my wife has dug up some quantum stuff. All of this that we're talking about is in the quantum field. And so she's got some interesting things that deal with that.
Okay. Sorry. So what kinds of things did she find by looking into the quantum field that could help?
Quantum blocks, actually, and they seem to capture this energy and then make it into a different form that's not harmful to us. And it may sound kind of crazy out there, but you know, one of our clients, who also happens to be a scientific advisor, is a PhD in quantum particulate science. She teaches this fairly well renowned, and so there is actually quite a bit to this. We're only seeing part of what's happening on, you know, in our world. It's happening. We don't see magnetic radiation. We right. don't see the microwave working, but it is nonetheless there. In fact, you might have seen there's some interesting new science coming out showing that the little microchips phase in and out of people as EMF is exposed to people. So the hydrogel was put into people, and if they're exposed to EMF, then it starts assembling. And if they take the EMF away, it not only disassembles, it disappears. That's phasing in and out of our dimension. So there's really a lot to this quantum theory that we're just starting to understand.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about based on that and that self-assembly, especially with metals, is to talk to you about the issue of the white fibrous clots. Before we jump into that, though, and I won't forget, you mentioned Hope and Tavon. I was just recently on their show as a guest, and they sent me some of these materials that block the EMF. And so I'm assuming you're familiar with it and you have them in your home and around, you know, yes. you wear them around your neck. So I know Anne Vandersteel is a big fan, and she never goes anywhere without her EMF blocking necklace. So,
yep. But yeah, I'm with her.
Yeah. And on the Faraday cage, I wanted to mention, I have a member of my social media channel that is an incredible prepper up in Michigan. And she just sent me a link to a great Faraday cage company. When you were saying you can get them to put your phone inside just to minimize your exposure. So I'll have to send you that link as well. If you're a Faraday.
And if all else fails, your microwave oven is a Faraday cage.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Stick your phone in your microwave oven and try and call it and see what happens.
Right? Ah.
So the whole point is that your microwave is containing electromagnetic frequencies, microwave in size, the same as the 5G. So it is a Faraday cage by itself.
Yeah, this whole 5G is very concerning to me because there are a lot of people that say, hey, I hang those things. It's nothing. It's just, you know, faster technology. But you've said, you know, no, people have noticed there's no difference because it's not for that. Right.
You may not. So the answer in no difference is in terms of speeds and whatnot. But the 5G system is a weapons platform. We've got a lot of advisors to us, scientific people who have built these as weapons. Are advising us. That's what this is, complete with phased arrays. And they're not dangerous. Really tell that to the TSA people who stand next to those millimeter wave machines that they use to scan you. There, if you can look it up for yourself, there's extraordinary cancer rates for these people that operate those machines.
Oh,
they're very
wow.
dangerous, and they cause cell mutation that ends in cancer, amongst other things. We have advisors, doctor, who will tell you, and it's not one, it's many, that any symptomology of any disease a human can suffer could be caused or replicated by 5G, or should say EMF radiation, different frequencies, not just 5G. So any malady whatsoever that a human suffers can be caused by or replicated by EMF radiation.
It's just unbelievable. It's hard to grasp, to be honest with you. But I think you've given us some things to think about. We'll talk about that at the end, but we'll throw back in the Faraday cages and the EMF blockers. But I want to get to these white clots, these white fibrous clots that embalmers started to find last year. I broke the story in January. It's a very unique thing. And Mike Adams, the health ranger, was kind enough to do some mass spectroscopy, to do some exposure to nitric acid to see how it reacted compared to flesh or dog food and things like that. And what he said basically is this is not a human protein. It's not amyloid. The embalmers have said they're very difficult. You cannot, these are big men and they cannot pull them apart. They have to cut them. And then when Mike went in and really looked at it under high microscopy, he said there were things, it just looked like circuitry. And then when he did the chemical analysis, he found the metal analysis, he found that they're the furthest thing from human blood. So very low iron, but very high tin and aluminum, these metals that were very conductive. So I wonder what your thoughts were about that. What you've seen in the evidence, are they like creating the situation where they're getting people to grow conductive material, but people are dying. So how do they?
Well, it's two things. Number one, I know you don't, not a huge fan of the patents, but we have evidence to support what it is that what's in the patent is actually happening, including the ingredients to hydrogel, the one of the listed ingredients to cesium. We know, and I talked to Mike about it, that it binds with living tissue and turns that tissue into an amplifier, transistor, and transmitter.
I see.
We know that that was used in the clinical trial in the military. It was C459-1001, whereby they used the InTouch eDiary, which is an EPCR device that was reading in real time the changes caused by the shots, the quote-unquote vaccines, in the service members and their families while it was happening. That information was sent off to Israel. It was laundered and then sent back to the FDA and DOD and Pfizer. The point of me telling you that is that the patents match everything that we're talking about.
I see.
Technology does exist.
Yeah,
we know that that's one of the ingredients. We also know there's other metals, aluminum and barium. What have we been finding from, you know, chemtrails? People have been taking readings off of those and doing mass spectrometry. We know that there is aluminum and barium. We are being prepared for this, right? The owner said that they're going to genetically modify every plant and animal species on this planet. That's what's happening. The HHS has a division devoted to it called Synbio. We're right in the middle
Synbio.
Of that,
doctor. Yeah, that is awful. It's just awful. Is it a dose finding thing where they're getting people's bodies to harvest these metals and grow them? And then when it's too much, they drop over dead. But if it's just enough, they can transmit. Is that really what?
Well, the other part of it is we found early on in this whole debacle, this whole genocide, that the owners only expected 2.2% of the people to survive the transformation. So it's really a combination of those, including the fact that throughout these phase three clinical trials, because that's what's happening, that's what we're in right now, these are all experimental shots, the ingredients are changing. And I know you've got experts that you've talked to and interviewed, and they will tell you that batches and lots are completely different. They have different contents, and they don't even have to tell the FDA if the FDA cared in the first place, which they don't. They've said they don't.
Yeah.
So how do we know what it is we're getting? What we do know is that there are experiments that show that it's called Tesla phrases, whereby EMF is applied to certain materials, including graphene hydroxide or graphene oxide, and it causes them to link and assemble, amongst other things. So I think that's where you're seeing those things growing. They are growing this inside of people, and probably every other plant and animal species too.
Yeah, this is why it's a concern. And I've talked to Dr. Tenpenny about, she has the same concern. There are these experts that sort of pop out of nowhere and they say, listen, I examined 50 vials. I didn't find any graphene, or I didn't see any mRNA. And we've tried to explain to them, there are different things at any different, you know, any given day within the same lot number. This is the work you referred to is Team Enigma, which is the group that does how bad is my batch and that kind of thing. And there's so much variation within lot numbers. And a lot of those lot numbers, a lot of those vials haven't even been deployed yet. So it's very, very frightening on that count. I wanted to ask you about that and what you thought. You don't seem to think it's strange at all that people are growing these things in their bodies. And you know, it's not about the patent. It's not that I'm against patents, but patents alone aren't to me. It's like I need other, and I've said, you always bring with your patent, the patents that you've reviewed and your team's reviewed, you always bring along documents from the company of findings elsewhere, and you put it together and say, look, this is what's happening. We know it.
And you're right. We have to prove that causal relationship. You're absolutely right. And we have.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about, I think one of the things we could do to protect ourselves is, you said, you know, say no. And in terms of banking, stay away from the digital currency landscape for as long as you can, forever, if you can.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think I mentioned, or we all are aware that, and not to bring him up, you know, specifically, but President Trump recently came out, its most famous case, with his advertisement, this announcement on using these Trump cards, but they're digital. They're like crypto cards, right? Nobody gets to touch it, and it's out there in the ether. So, is that another step toward, you know, the digital lockdown where you can't?
Sure.
Yeah. You've talked about that a lot. Yeah.
Well, I have. And I want to tell you in advance of that, probably the best thing that's happened to humanity in the last many years is the blow up of FTX, right? That was the crypto exchange in the Bahamas. And, you know, I happen to live in this area, so I happen to know that some months ago, Bill Clinton and all of his cronies showed up here, and they had chosen FTX to be the exchange whereby crypto biologics would be traded, effectively carbon credits produced by us as people. That goes back to this whole InTouch e-diary thing, where those devices, the ePCR is sensitive enough to measure in micrometers, I believe is the term, actually how much we're producing CO2 and otherwise, so that there would be a value attached to that, debits and credits, and those debits and credits would be traded on the FTX exchange. Thank God that blew up, because that was the next step towards digital currency, whereby each and every one of us would be assigned a digital currency identification number. And depending on our debits and credits and what it is we do with our life, hiking too far or something, would assign a value or a debit to that activity. And all of that would be traded. So I'm grateful that FTX blew up, because the worst thing that can happen is the digital currency, central bank digital currency. Like, if you look at what happened with the truckers in Canada.
Yeah.
When Trudeau got mad at that, what did they do? They turned off not just people's bank accounts. They were able to turn off people's crypto accounts. So this programmable money is in China right now. If people go too far from their home, their money doesn't work. If they bought too much meat in that month, sorry, your money doesn't work here. That's programmable currency. That's what they're offering. What we have to do is cash. And we have a habit of doing cash Fridays. I would like to do cash every day because guess what? It's portable. It's anonymous. What we need is anonymity. We don't need people telling us what we can eat or where we can spend our money. And that's the road we're headed down, to your point.
Yeah. And I like that idea. I like the anonymity of cash. I probably use it maybe 40% of the time compared to the digital, the credit cards.
For you.
Yeah. And I like the feeling of if I pay for something, I like the feeling of, wow, nobody knows I'm here. You know, it's just so strange because through my credit card, they're tracking me, right?
Well, that's important, Doctor, because blockchain is the ultimate in tracking. People have this crazy idea, this notion that it's anonymous. It is anything but anonymous. You know, like I said, you know, the Stasi from old Germany would be overjoyed to have that kind of record keeping. And it's not just in one place, it's on a distributed ledger. So trust me, they know everything that you're spending that money on, who, what, why, when. You know, and that's the kind of control that Noah Harari dreams of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the worst thing we can do, I think that's the red line, Doctor. Where does the people rise up? And I think it's at that point when you take away their spending power, you take away their cash or anonymity. I think that's really it. And God help us if people are stupid enough to go in for this. It's being tested right now, by the way, in the Northeast.
How is it being tested in the Northeast? And people,
the banks are testing it. It's Chase and Bank of America and a few others are beta testing central bank digital currency called the Fed coin. And they're testing it out right now.
And here we go again, inducing people, get a hamburger to open up a digital account. And people are going to go, whoa, and they're going to give me like $1,000 in this digital account. How are we going to overcome this? I mean, we're obviously on this trail of educating people. How are we going to stop this?
Opting out. The answer is no. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not giving up my cash. We're going to have to create effectively a parallel society. Those of us who didn't take the shots, if we want to remain human, we want to have dominion over our life and our freedom, freedom of choice. We have to be very disciplined and say no to all of it. That means, you know, if we got to give up our 5G device, whatever stupid phone or whatever it is, then we better do that. If we need to go to flip phones, if we need to go back to a string with a couple of cans on either end, then that's what we're going to have to do.
So let's kind of sum up before we let you go. Stick with cash as much as possible.
Now you said
you and your family and friends do Cash Friday. So you have a dedicated, just to get into the habit, to stay with it.
Yeah.
So cash, say no to the shots, obviously. Help me out.
Anything the government tells you is good for you, do the opposite.
Right.
They're not here to help you. They're here to kill you. Seriously, you know, all of this is about control. All of this is about, you know, depopulating the planet. Why would we trust anything coming out of their mouths? So the answer is no. Make your own decisions. Stick to your own principles. We've got to go back, you know, a long time, and we've got to recreate what humanity looks like. This digital version, this SynBio version, the Homo Borg Genesis, will certainly end in our doom.
Quick update on the military mandates being dropped. Just a moment or two, if you have a little extra time, and bring us up to speed. A lot of people are taking credit for it. Hey, I put this movie out, or I did this thing, and you know, and I stopped it. What was the real reason? I'm always suspicious. What was the real reason that it got dropped?
I'm glad you said real reason, because you know, I was the first guy to sue the DOD over this, and I can tell you it wasn't what I did. It was the service members themselves. Hundreds of thousands of them said, no, we're not doing this. And the military fell apart effectively.
Yeah.
And it was the power of no. That's what it is we're saying here, right? We've got to say no. Exercise your two-year-old inside of you.
Yeah.
No, mommy, no dad. That's the way we solve this.
Yeah, luckily there was an urgency in the communication in the military, and it got to enough people. Like you said, this block of a lot of people to say no, because it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing, Doc.
It's very Darwinian.
Thank you.
You're very kind. It's very Darwinian, you know, when you think about it. If people don't stop and think, you know, they're not going to survive. They're not going to survive this.
Only the paranoid survive.
Only the paranoid survive. Oh, you can throw me into that group for sure. Yeah. So, Todd, thank you so much for your time today, your generosity, and for keeping us up to date. It's been great talking to you, and I know you'll come back again and keep us.
Yeah.
You really educated me a lot today on the steps that we can take. Like the cash, wonderful. The Faraday cages, you know, those kinds of things, and flip phones and getting back to basics in life.
Principles. So, that's right. Yeah. You know, make your relationship with God and stick to the principles. The golden rule still exists.
Absolutely. And get right with God. I think you wanted to make that point as well.
Yeah. I do, because it's all one and the same, right? We have to throw away our fear, and because otherwise we're controlled. So we've got to get right with God. We've got to forgive ourselves and others, and we've got to find the beauty in humanity and appreciate it so that we can preserve it.
Absolutely. Thanks for everything you do, Todd. You're an incredible.
Thanks to you.
I'm really glad to know you. Thanks so much.
Likewise, Doc.
And I wanted to say Merry Christmas and have a beautiful holiday.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Well, that's it for this segment. I'll be back in a moment with some closing words. Don't go anywhere. Well, that's it for today's edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show this Monday, December 19th, 2022. It's a great show. I hope you got a lot out of listening to Todd Callender. It's a little frightening, but he always has great solutions. And I think he's made some incredible points. Get right with God. Stay close to God. We know God has this entire thing. So anyway, I want to thank you for your support. Don't forget my lawsuit. Robert Malone is suing me for defamation because he doesn't like opinions and he doesn't want his feelings hurt. So if you want to help me with my legal defense, please go to givesendgo.com/protectdrjane. givesendgo.com/protectdrjane. And I appreciate your prayers and appreciate any donations you can make. The other thing I want to do is thank my sponsors, Mike Lindell, mypillow.com, promo code Ruby. Get your Christmas presents, get things at mystore.com for the house. It's a great time to avoid big box stores like Target and Walmart. Remember, those are the stores that got to make billions while you had to shut down your private business. That's it. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you back here on Wednesday.